This is the Scottish Club Rugby Podcast.
The Scottish Club Rugby Podcast.
With Stuart Cameron and Dale Clancy.
Hello and welcome to episode 30 of the Scottish Club Rugby Podcast. And in the programme this week, we take a look back at what happened last Saturday in the Inter-District Championship. And we'll be looking ahead to a busy weekend with the final round of the IDC and also the National League Cup, which has now reached the quarter-final stage with some very interesting ties. Well, Dale Clancy joins me again today. He was commentating with Robin Purdy on a very exciting game at Poyndar Park on Saturday, with the South getting over the line with the last kick of the game to go 2-2 with a win against Glasgow and West. And it was a big match played in front of a very big crowd.
Yeah, it was a huge game. And, you know, first and foremost, it's great to see you getting down with the kids with the IDC. So
I'm learning. I'm learning. IDC, we could call the National League Cup the NLC. Do you think anyone will mind?
No, I don't think that'll catch on. But it's obviously it was a huge weekend last weekend in the Inter-District Championship. And before the whole championship started, we discussed how close we thought the championship was going to be. All the teams were really, really strong going into this year. You know, it probably wasn't the same last year. I think some, maybe 50% of the teams took it probably a little bit more seriously than the others. But you can see from the scorelines that, you know, there's not been a game that's been out with 3 points as the winning margin. So we go into this weekend with still loads to play for, like most teams. You know, I think probably apart from Cali, I believe, I think all teams are pretty much still within a shout. And, you know, we've seen what Cali did to the South last year at Braidholm. So anything can happen ahead of this weekend. But, you know, looking back on last weekend, the game itself, Glasgow, I think, played exceptionally well against the South. They played rugby in the right areas, just kept the scoreboard ticking over using the experience of Sturgeon, but they were almost that different side from what Edinburgh were. They had the attritional package to really target the South up front, but also played at a really high tempo and a high pace. So, you know, the South guys, I was speaking to Dalton Redpath after the game as well, and, you know, he was saying how exhausted they were and how tired they were. Now, what impact will that have this weekend? But they managed to squeeze over the line, and it was a great occasion. Big crowd, you know, big result for the South as well. Ahead of this weekend, a big trip for them away up to Inverness. So, you know, they'll be hoping they've pretty much done all the hard work. It's a matter of being composed now, and probably, you know, it's top versus bottom. So on paper, you know, they go into this as favourites, but they did that last year, and look what happened.
And you say top against bottom, it could easily have been the other way around.
Yeah, it definitely could have been, and I think that does point to how competitive this championship has been. You look at all the squads, it's good rugby. I don't care what anybody says, it's really entertaining rugby. It's invitational rugby where players are thrust into this environment where most of them have to get to know new partnerships. Balls go to ground and you can start to see, you know, they're not familiar with the, you know, that centre running that sort of line, or the fly half's not used to, you know, the forwards running on the inside. It's hard to play with a new bunch of players, but, you know, sometimes it's a matter of trying to, who makes it click the quickest. So, you know, bouncing the ball, the wind changes in a different direction, different decisions go different ways. You think about the South, the punishment that they came under at the end of each half in Edinburgh, that could easily be a defeat. And Edinburgh going into this weekend 2-2, and they're in the driving seat against Glasgow in the West as well. You think about some of the opportunities that they had to withstand as well at a period of time at the end of that first half. Glasgow in the West could have easily have scored and went down at half time, narrower margins. They came out in the second half and scored straight away. The South were chasing for a lot of the time in the second half. So that is the fine margins of this game. And I think plaudits to Matty Douglas. We've not obviously discussed it too much. It's been a difficult few weeks for the young coach, but he's justified and shown really good coaching pedigree over the last couple of weeks. Luck for some of it. You can't dictate the wind. You can't dictate winning a toss or losing a toss, but you can dictate when you're going to bring a front row on. And he was able to deploy them at the right time in that game. And ultimately, the scrum probably won the South that game at the weekend. And, you know, when things are going to be changing in his you know, in his coaching career over the next kind of couple of years, he's put his hand up and shown that he's got the minerals to take a team over the line in really tricky, challenging conditions.
3G pitch as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's going to have a say. Obviously, looking at the weather as well, it's going to be slightly wet and windy. Maybe slightly wet, very windy, and that's going to have a say. But, you know, I think over the last couple of weekends, the wind has had a huge say in both of the games anyway. So, yeah, it's a different environment going on in a 3G. And I know, obviously, the South themselves, and it's not to talk up the South because of where we live. Like, Cali are one of the leaders in the inter-district championship in terms of the way that they carry themselves. They've got one home game this season, and they'll be wanting to put on a show as well. So, you know, whatever camp you're in, it doesn't really matter. If you're a South fan or a Cali fan, you're going to be treated to a really good game of rugby this weekend. You know, a real combative game between two sides that are just wanting to win. That's it. That's the end goal. I think the South won't be thinking about the championship. They'll be going there to win. The championship's a byproduct of getting over the line. Cali, they'll be hurting because they can't retain their crown. So they've got nothing to lose. They'll be throwing caution to the wind. It'll be an expansive game from their part because of the way that they play. But we've said it before, they've got a lot of really good players in their squad that are, you know, littered all over the country because of the makeup of Caledonia rugby. So one thing is for certain, we've seen four games so far in the championship, all been high scoring, tight and competitive. This weekend's going to be the same.
Well, the other match, of course, played at the weekend, Edinburgh against Caledonia Reds, and Caledonia Reds went off into a 33-20 lead with just a few minutes remaining and a couple of converted tries from Edinburgh, and all of a sudden it's 34-33. Caledonia Reds are down and out. Edinburgh very much back in the mix, and well, another tight game.
Yeah, no, it reiterates the point of how tight this championship is. And you know, Edinburgh were impressive for 40 minutes. You know, probably a little bit longer. 40 minutes is certainly against the South, and we covered that game at Stonyhill, and it didn't surprise me that they were able to, you know, muscle out a victory. They've got a really strong squad. They're probably one of the teams that, given in any other calendar year, if domestic rugby is either out of the equation or dealt with or not in the delicate position it is in terms of so many big games coming up, would they be stronger? Would they be stronger with the addition of more Curry players? Because there's an element of me thinking that there is a little bit of protection of them going on, and that was always said at the start. I said that before the championship, that it will be interesting to see what the inclusion is of Curry players. Now, they've still got a lot of really key players playing for Edinburgh. Brett, they've got Stewart, who's a really important, he starts at hooker pretty much every week. Carson's in there as well. You know, Cardozzi's playing for Cali, so they're not being wrapped in cotton wool by any means, but, you know, they've probably got a lot more to lose than likes of Hoyt, who are, as you can see in the makeup of the South, are flooded with Hoyt players. But, you know, it just shows another really competitive weekend. It was a really important weekend in terms of getting that wing, making sure that you stayed in the hunt. Edinburgh, the ones that were able to. So, you know, realistically now it's only Edinburgh and Glasgow hoping that the South slip up this weekend and they can take advantage.
Yeah, because it's very much in their own hands now.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it. And I think it's the intrigue last year. I remember obviously covering the Edinburgh Glasgow game, which was essentially a third, fourth place playoff, and it was interesting to a degree. But then when you watch the Cali South game, like I went in and I just went, South are the strongest squad. There was no doubt about that. They just couldn't play rugby on that day. They just forgot how to approach that game. They were kind of maybe shocked and surprised by the intensity that came from Cali. They just were not expecting that. And I think perhaps, did they underestimate their opponents on that occasion? I would argue that they did. And that was the intrigue of that game, is the fact that it was out in front of your eyes, it was playing out, and you thought, this is not how it should be, because it was a nailed-on win in my eyes for the South. And you were watching it and you were almost in awe of Cali because of, I've always said, like the limitations and the barriers that they've got for rugby in the north of Scotland is really, really difficult. So you were watching it with, you know, I'm from the South, but there was an element of pride there going, how good is it to see a backs-to-the-wall performance from Cali and come out and win the championship? So, you know, obviously going into this weekend, it's almost the kind of the same scenario for the South. They have to go in, they can't be undercooked, and Cali will be, as I say, hurting from last year when they hadn't to lose. We want championships that are competitive, high quality, and the ones that are going to keep you interested. And I'm a neutral, so, you know, I'm really invested in it, really interested in where the championship is going to end up. And we know, you know, it's not going north into the Cali region. It's going to go away from them this year. It's up to the other three, but as you say, it's in the hands of the South at the moment, and it's theirs to lose.
Well, the table is extraordinary, really, because South are at the top with 8 points, Caledonia at the bottom with 3. But literally, if every game had ended a few seconds early, we could have seen, as I say, Cali at the top and South at the bottom. That's how tight it is. So South 8, Edinburgh 7, Glasgow and West 6, Caledonia Reds 3. The points difference is really interesting. +5 for the South, -2 for Edinburgh, +2 for Glasgow, and -5 for Cali. Absolutely extraordinary. Rules have been confirmed, by the way, that if teams teams tie at the top of the table this week. For instance, if South win with no bonus point and Edinburgh win with a bonus point, then it doesn't go down to points difference. Instead, it goes down to who won the match between the two teams, and that would be the South, which is great news for the South, but not so good for Edinburgh.
It just adds to the intrigue of the league. It's not really bad news. It just means that Edinburgh are going to have to throw everything at it to try and get that bonus point victory. Everybody knows what their task is. It's great. You know, at the beginning of this weekend, you know, everybody knows it. As soon as the shrill of that whistle goes, everybody knows the objective. Everybody knows what they're going to need to do. And that's where the games are going to be completely different. So, you know, the South are probably going to be a bit more pragmatic in their approach to the game, play in the right areas, make sure they squeeze Cali, get their set pieces right, and just tick over the scoreboard. Whereas Edinburgh, they're going to have to throw caution to the wind and, you know, try and get some points and tries on the board. So, you know, that's where the difference is in getting the wins, getting a couple of wins under your belt, no matter how you get them. You know, they've all been tight. It plays into this final weekend and knowing what your job is to lift the silverware.
And Cali, of course, at home for the very first time in the Championship, there will certainly be no pushover.
No, they won't. And yeah, I think I alluded to that at the start of this bit of dialogue, is that I just think that they've been one of the leading lights in our district championship rugby for the last few years, trying to get it ignited and galvanised again. And, you know, they've probably led alongside the South. I would be expecting a healthy crowd. You know, the thing with Cali in the South is there is a lot of history there. There is in the other regions as well. The difference is nowadays is you're inundated with rugby in the Central Belt, in Glasgow and Edinburgh. So I wasn't surprised at Stony Hill that, you know, it looked and felt like a mid-table club game because of the fact that, you know, they had three Super Series teams, they've got loads of clubs, their national team is on their doorstep. If you want to watch rugby, you've got loads and loads of it. And you've got private school rugby as well, which is a really good quality. So, you know, when you go further away from the Central Belt, it just does become a little bit more partisan. So, you know, the Cali boys will be gunning for the South this weekend. It'll be a great occasion. You know, great hospitality up there. I love their rugby. And it's a big occasion for them because they can still have a huge, huge say in this championship. They did last year. They upset the odds. They won the championship. And this year they'll be wanting to have a say as well. So one game to go for them.
Well, on Tuesday night, I went down to the Green Yards to talk to the South head coach, Matty Douglas, as they prepare to meet Cali Reds on the 3G pitch at Inverness. Well, Matty, 2 from 2. As you know yourself as a coach, it could easily have been the other way around. You could be at the bottom of the table yourself, but it's not. And all you need to do is win without a bonus point.
Yeah, I think looking at Saturday past, first I thought first half really good, took our opportunities, and to be fair, probably a bit of a confident team talk at half time. I really did feel if we scored next and got a try on the board that we would crack them, but credit to Glasgow, but we fought to the end. We've showed a bit of character with the bench coming on to get us a penalty for Kirk to step up, and have every confidence in what Kirk does. So no, really good with that, and it's been made a bit easier with SRU confirming that we, you know, it goes down to head-to-head if the points are the same. So we just need to go to Inverness and win, and it's now trying to find a way to crack a very good Cali side.
Two completely different matches and two completely different teams really that stepped up, and this third challenge is another challenge again. So you've got to kind of look at who's good at the 3G.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I think we've got a couple of Melrose boys in around the squad that are used to 3G, and obviously a few Highland boys in the Cali side. But look, I think on the whole it'll be a challenge for both sides. But Cali again are a different opposition to Edinburgh and Glasgow. They bring different threats, and I really like the style they play. You know, they'll run for it anywhere. They'll look to try and exploit us maybe on the wide channels. And look, I probably say that looking at how they won the game up at GHA last season. So we know what's coming, and for us as coaches, we've tried to look at a few things to combat that, and we'll be taking as strong a squad as possible. It'll be, you know, I think it'll come down to who takes their opportunities and deals with the pressure best on the day.
A sense of deja vu, isn't there? Because this time last year at Braidholm, it was Cali Reds again, and it was for the championship, effectively. We've got the same situation here now. Cali obviously can't win, the only team who can't. But, you know, you will certainly have that unfinished business in the back of your mind.
There definitely is. Obviously, last season up at GHA, we we just didn't really get into the game at all. And to be fair, again, probably to the boys, the character, I think we scored, what, two or three tries. There was a Badenhorst break down the touchline. Mm. And, Dodgy, you know, missed that kick at the end. But look, these things happen. And I think we just didn't really give our best that day. And that's probably been a little bit of driver through the championship that, if we got to this stage, we really want to finish on a high. And I think, you know, looking at character-wise, we've probably won the last couple of games on that. Bits and pieces of performance, and it's now as coaches for us to try and mould it together and get that, you know, that ultimate performance to get a win at Inverness.
You've changed places now. We're at the Green Yards because of the 3G pitch, obviously, so you've got a couple of nights to get things rolling, and another opportunity for players to put their hand up.
Yeah, there is, and look, it's obviously hard. We've had boys drop out the squad through injury, boys coming in, and tonight, and then we're at Hoyk 3G on Thursday, just again to get another session on there. And look, the there's places up for grabs this weekend. There's no guarantee that the boys who played last Saturday are in. The players know that even sessions they'll have to work extremely hard, because we've got a lot of players who haven't had an opportunity yet, and I know they're biting for it, and it's trying to see, you know, what sort of squad we take and who's available injury wise. But again, tonight will go a long way in the squad that travels to Inverness.
Tonight is quite a unique little occasion as well, in a way, because you've got the Southern Knights on the pitch taking on the South. There's loads of people, including myself, who would have loved to have seen the South take on the Southern Knights. I know it's just a little bounce training match, but quite nice to see all the same.
Yeah, it is. And when we came here, I know Chegg was very keen to get us to have a little bit of session, or as much as we could, and I think, you know, I'm a bit buzzing for it, to be honest, just to see where we're at. It's all right training against each other, you know, live set piece, and having been able to run against each other, but I think tonight it'll give us an idea, little things that we want to tweak and see the detail, but again, for the Knights to get a bit of opposition before they go into their run of games. So yeah, look, even though it's a bounce game, it's quite good to come down and get an opposition like the Knights to run against.
It's always interesting as well to talk to the players themselves and find out who likes the 3G, who doesn't. I know for a fact there's a few in the squad who absolutely hate the 3G for injury reasons and all sorts of kinds of things. Then you talk to some of the backs who love this surface. So it is going to be an interesting blend, isn't it, that you take up there and eventually choose your team?
Yeah, I think it does. It has to come into it. Obviously, there's a lot of boys I've played their season on the 3G here at Melrose, and that sort of experience comes into it. But for me, I think, yes, fair enough, the pitch, but our job doesn't change. It might be a bit quicker. It might, you know, the skill set will be better. But in terms of the way we want to play, we need to find a way to test Cali. We need to find a way to beat Cali, because I know they'll have a big following at Inverness. And again, they've narrowly, I think all the games have all been about a point or two points in the last 2 weeks. So they'll have a point to prove. You know, they're defending champions. They'll come out. They'll be hurting. They're a side who, I know the head coaches well, and they take this very seriously, and they'll be disappointed. So I'm expecting a massive backlash this weekend, and it's how we win on that surface. We're not used to it, but we'll prepare for it, and I've no question that these boys will be up to the task if us as coaches get the build-up right.
Just finally, what does this mean to you to go up there and win, make it 3 out of 3 and the championship?
It means a lot. Being involved last season showed those glimpses of what it meant to the players and obviously the region, and then probably Saturday past showed again what it meant to the region, the support we had and what the players are trying to achieve. Personally, it's a massive, you know, accolade and opportunity I've been given by the South, and I just feel, you know, we've went 2 for 2, and to win it would be, you know, an icing on the cake for the season. And I do think that this will go a long way in these players' futures as well. You know, that's the big part of it, that there has been, you know, hopefully confirmation that a club 15 will return, and again it has to go on the balance of a championship. So yeah, there's a couple of things. Obviously, personally, you know, I really want to win it. It's something that means a lot to us. But then on the flip side, as players, this is a real stepping stone for, you know, this new premiership that's coming along as well.
Well, it's very interesting to hear what he had to say. Three completely different challenges in three different matches. He's now picked a team which he thinks will perform well on a 3G service, and we can tell you that team now. We haven't got the Caledonia Red side with us, but we can tell you that Kirk Ford will run out at fullback for the third time. The wingers are Callum Anderson and Josh Welsh, who's been recalled. Frankie Robson and Donald Crawford taking part for the first time. Donald Crawford has been injured, but he's passed the fitness test, and he will join Frankie Robson in the centre. Douglas Crawford starts at nine for the first time. Aaron McComb returns at fly half, the Selkirk player, of course. In the front row, no change. Sean Muir, captain. Fraser Rennick and Nicky Little. Connor Sutherland and Keith Melbourne in the second row. Bruce McNeil, Callum Rennick and Jay Linton are in the back row. And on the bench, you've got Russell Anderson, Grant Shields, Terry Logan, Angus Dunn and Craig Keddie, who are the forwards substitutes. Craig Keddie making an appearance for the very first time. And in the backs, Andy Tate, Struan Hutchison and also Dwayne Patterson. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think after the weekend, I perhaps hinted that I did think there would be some changes. I think you said it there, the three different challenges over the three different games. So I did think there would be some slight changes. I'm not surprised to still see that Hoik front row in there. Yeah, good to see Donald Crawford back in there as well, because I think he's a player that's only improved over the last few years. It shows you how competitive it is, because Dwayne Patterson's a class player as well. So, you know, in terms of that squad, I think it's really strong. They've went pretty physical on the wings as well. I think they're going to be stretched, and they're going to need to be physical in that back division. So if you think about it, they've got quite a dynamic half-back pairing. Nice to see Aaron McComb back in at fly half. I think this is a game that will suit him on the pitch as well. Obviously, partnering Douglas Crawford, so you know he's a lightning quick scrum half. So they're going to be wanting to play at a bit of pace when they've got the ball in hand, and they're able to try and unleash these backs, and they're going to try and be physical. But they're going to be met with DJ Innes is one of the best defenders in the Premiership, you know, in the back. So you know they're going to have to be doing well to try and breach the defence that he's probably going to be involved in Marshland. So yeah, I'm not surprised there's a few changes in there, and it's a strong bench. You know, the likes of Craig Keddie in there is, you know, he's played for the Birmingham Bears for the last few years, now back at Gala. But it's obviously good to see the inclusion of him alongside Angus Dunn on the bench. So they all bring different things, but there's a good balance of real physicality there. The likes of Connor Sutherland in the middle row now as well. Real physicality up front, but also a bit of strength and pace and panache in the backs.
Interesting conversation they will have had about the half-backs. Struan Hutchison and Doug Crawford are obviously Melrose, who play at the 3G pitch, are very used to it, very used to playing each other together. I thought they may have started. And then, of course, Andy Tate, who started the other two games, a lot of people prefer him to start and feel that Doug Crawford is more of an impact player.
It depends what way they're going to be approaching this. And I think when I'm just having a little glance at that bench as well, and this is no disrespect to any of the players that are there, but like Anderson and Shields are experienced and older players, along with Keddie as well. Terry Logan's a big impact player to come off the bench, and we've seen what they've done in the scrum when they came off. To bring Andy Tate in there alongside Struan Hutchison, you've got two real good controlling playmakers. So, you know, I think Aaron McComb is a bit of a maverick at 10. You know, he likes to take the ball to the line. He likes to play with a bit of freedom, which I think, you know, he's always going to have that outlet on the outside with having Frankie Robson there, and obviously a big, powerful back row as well with the likes of Linton and Rennick. Callum Rennick has probably been one of the players of the Championship, obviously not played every single minute, you know, but he's been one of the players of the Championship. The impact that he's had on the South team has been phenomenal. So, you know, Aaron McComb is going to be able to have weapons to try and put a bit of pressure on Cali. And Andy Tate's an experienced, really controlling nine. So I think that depends what way, there's more than one way to skin a cat, but depends what way Matty Douglas and the coaching staff have set up this South team. But they're obviously going to look to try and, you know, get a lead and control it and control the game, and then after that you've got good personnel to put them in the right places, especially with the likes of Patterson as well. He's the only sub that I never mentioned, but they've got a goal kicker, they've got a kicking outside centre who's really accurate with the boot as well. So, you know, they've got personnel to manipulate and control a game. It's a matter of trying to get that control. That's going to be the hard thing against a really stuffy and difficult Cali team. So yeah, no complaints with the team whatsoever. And no complaints with the selection in the positions. It's, you know, it's really difficult to try and visualise what those partnerships are going to look like. So having a Melrose and a Selkirk halfback pair, and it's the third different halfback starting lineup or starting partnership we've seen in the lineup for the South. So there's obviously things in there that they want to see differently. So it's a different game, different approach, different personnel, and they'll be hoping for the same result.
So has there been any impact at all with regards to the 3G surface and the way he selected the team, do you think?
I'd be guessing, but I do think there's perhaps an element of that because, you know, the experienced players, your Anderson, Shields, your Logans, would we have seen them on the bench anyway? Probably, but they're not getting a chance to start in this game. Bruce McNeil starting in this, is it, you know, and bringing Craig Keddie into the back row. They've got two players in Dunn and Keddie that can play in the back row. Dunn can play in the middle row as well. So, you know, they've got options on the bench, and you wonder whether it's to try and get a lead, and then they might be able to withdraw Bruce McNeil after half an hour, for example. You know, he's in the form and shape of his life, but, you know, age is going to catch up with you at some point, and perhaps it might be that, you know, the surface might not play too well into some of these players' hands. So, you know, they've got a really strong bench there. Players that have been carrying injuries, the likes of Donald Crawford, you've got good options there with Hutchison and Patterson. You know, you can also bring Welsh in at the centre as well. So they've got options, and I think that the 3G surface will have a say in terms of the makeup of the squad. Whether it's had the final say on personnel and whether they've started or been on the bench, I don't know, but certainly it'll play in the back of the mind of the coaching staff, because apart from people who sell 3G pitches, I don't think there's many fans of them. So it'll definitely play a part.
We'll come to 3G in a second because I want to get your thoughts on that, but we're recording this on Wednesday night, and that team list has literally just dropped into our in-mail box, and I know it's going to be 11 a.m. Thursday when it's announced, and that's when this podcast will go out. But what we don't have is the Cali team, but you've obviously had a look at the Cali team in their previous two matches, and pick out who you think are going to be the big stars of that team. Obviously you mentioned DJ Innes.
Yeah, I think DJ Innes is one. Obviously, he was in the starting lineup for the previous game, and you've got the Falkirk players in there with Harry Russell, who's captain in Cali Red. So, obviously, he's an influential player, and I think, obviously, it showed the influence with the likes of him and Connor Folds, who got man of the match in the previous weekend for Cali. You've seen their absence from the game against Lasswade, where Falkirk got turned over quite convincingly. You know, so obviously they're going to have an influence. Max Wallace has been a really good player for Edinburgh Accies. Whether he starts or not is going to be interesting, but alongside DJ Innes, that's a really good centre partnership. They were actually the centre partnership, I believe, that won the championship last year, so if it's not broken, don't try and fix it. So, but there's a lot of really good players in the whole starting lineup as well. Malachi Keogh as well is a player in the second row for Heriots that's had a little bit in terms of Super Series rugby as well, playing for Cali Red. So obviously Backett is obviously originates from Dundee. He's playing for Caledonia. So there's a lot of really good players in there, and Cardosi is a player that I'm pretty sure that Robin Purdy's got a poster of Sam Cardosi on his wall. Probably
along with Jay Linton, yes.
Yeah, they're both laminated, I heard, as well. So he's probably got, you know, the posters of them, but rightfully so. I was really impressed with Cardosi last year in the Inter-District Championships, especially the final. He's a tenacious, you know, energetic back row, which is exactly what you want, especially when you're perhaps not equipped as well across the park. You want somebody to spoil the game, and I think Cardosi does that. So, you know, a lot of really good players there, you know, and that's mentioning players that are playing the Premiership and also out with Russell and Folds being two of them. You know, Connor Folds at fullback is a really, you know, a really good balanced runner, really good rugby player. So we're talking and we're speaking about the South because we've got the information at hand. You know, that's not downplaying Cali Reds at all. You know, I've got a lot of respect for what they've done to try and get this championship going again. And they've got really good key personnel there as well. Sangster, obviously coaching. Yeah, I played rugby with his sons, Andrew and Donald Sangster. Donald Sangster was a phenomenal rugby player in the back row. And if the Inter-District Championship was going now, I've got no doubt Donald, you know, he would be one of the players that would be knocking at the door to play for Cali, you know. So, you know, a lot of real good rugby heritage there, and a lot of good connections across the whole of Scottish rugby. You see it in their makeup of their squad. You know, I've got a lot of respect for what they do to fulfil these fixtures. Maybe not went their way by a couple of points this season, but they'll be wanting to change that this weekend.
So we mentioned 3G pitches earlier on. Where do you stand on the controversy? Because there's been a lot of injuries reported, many players complaining that they really don't like playing on the artificial surface, and even talk that some 3G pitches are going to be ripped up and return to grass.
Well, the first question there is, where do I stand on them? And it's usually as far away as possible from 3G pitches. The one up at the high school at Peebles, which was recently opened, we played the who played over 35's game, of which, at the time of recording this, I'm still not qualified to play for. But I woke up with Barney the Big Purple Dinosaur's knees. They were huge. But it was really good. And I can see, in terms of artificial pitches, the payback for the community. I've always said that Peebles were meant to get one years and years ago in dog walkers. And
great for football, great for hockey and other, but for rugby specifically, that's where the issue is, I think.
I enjoyed the game that I played on it. I can see the benefits of it. I've probably not watched enough rugby on artificial pitches to consider it or even take time to analyse that aspect of it. I do get the gripes with it. There's a lot of differences between playing football, certainly, to rugby, especially like the contact and the collision aspect. If you're getting planted and limbs are getting stuck on grounds when you're getting driven back, or there's a big contact, then I can see the danger in that. But there's danger in any sport you're going to play, and sometimes, you know, you're gonna find a way to find the reason as to why that injury occurred or why that's happened. But in terms of the pitches themselves, you know, community-wise, in a country, and I'm well qualified to speak about this, in a country when we're perhaps not in the best shape, to have resources that are available in all weather, whether I use them or not, you know, it's great for the community. But yeah, I get it. In high-level rugby and top-quality rugby, like our main international pitches are grass still. There's a reason behind that.
Well, they're hybrid, aren't they? Aviva and Murrayfield are hybrid, so you've got a mixture of some synthetic stuff knitted into it. It's very, very clever, but it's very, very expensive. People cannot afford it, and so the next best, if you like, are the 3Gs, which are getting better, but they're still not right.
Yeah, if you buy an artificial pitch off Wish, you get the 3G, you get the rubber pellets, and then your boots are filled with them for weeks to come, so... Yeah, it comes down to money, isn't it? And, you know, there's the two elements of that, the money to maintain a pitch and also the payback that you can get from a community. Now, obviously, Melrose used to have a grass pitch, a real historical grass pitch that I think Graham Dodds was, I think his tears when it was ripped up were keeping the grass growing because obviously he was hating to see that leave. But the time that pitch has then come in, the artificial surface, the payback for the community and what that, you know, Live Borders can make off it, you know, it's obviously quite substantial, and it's because it's used and available and utilised so well. Lower maintenance of a grass pitch, you can play in all weathers. You know, I get the benefits for the community, but you're probably asking the wrong person at the moment in terms of giving you an opinion on if it should have a place in rugby. I've not really considered spending a lot of time balancing up the pros and cons, you know, when I've been watching the games.
Okay, well, we'll come back to you on that one. Do your research now.
Okay,
we're live from Canal Park, Inverness, from 2:30 on Saturday on Rugby Radio. Dale, along with Robin Purdy, commentating on the whole match between Caledonia Reds and the South. Looking forward to going up there, even though it will be wet and windy, as he mentioned. But tune in as usual at the website at rugbyradio.co.uk. Well, also this weekend we've reached the quarter-final stage of the National League Cup. Alan Glens from Division 3 will also play a Division 3 team in Howe of Fife. Boroughmuir Division 3 play Newton Stewart from Division 2. Preston Lodge, the Division 3 champions, are at home to Falkirk, who have finished Division 2 in third place. And Stirling County Division 2 will play Lasswade, also from Division 2, but Lasswade, as we found out, will finish in second position. No Peebles, of course, who decided to concentrate on the Border League. They're the Division 2 champions. So let's start with Alan Glens and Howe Fife.
Yeah, an interesting game. Obviously, Alan Glens got a good victory last weekend away to Orkney, so that was a good result for them. But Howe Fife have been competing really well, you know, in National 3. You know, obviously coming up short against Orkney and, you know, and against Preston Lodge as well on occasion, especially the two games at Duffus Park when they were at home. You know, they were narrowly beaten on both occasions. Horrific weather on both times, but obviously came out the wrong end of the result. So, you know, against playing Alan Glens, it's a level playing field, and it's cup competition. So, you know, it's kind of whoever can accumulate the most points goes through. So, a difficult one to call, but you would say that, you know, Howe Fife probably have a little bit of an edge after their kind of league campaign that they've had this season.
Well, I'm going for an Alan Glenn's win, so we'll compare notes this time next week. Boroughmuir against Newton Stewart. I say Boroughmuir disposed of Berwick quite comfortably at Myerside. The game was switched from Meggetland to Myerside because the pitch wasn't available. And, well, they had a five-minute period where they scored three tries, and that was the game over, effectively. They're now home to Newton Stewart from Division 2, who will see this one as a real opportunity to get into the semis.
Yeah, I think so. Newton Stewart have been one of those teams as well that, you know, I've been clawing on to a promotion battle from the National 2 division. So, you know, they were there or thereabouts, putting some good performances. Obviously beat the champions, Peebles, and drew with them as well. So, undefeated against the promoted side. So, you know, in that division, there are no mugs, but the difficulty they sometimes have is the travel from the west and getting across to the central. But it's always a difficult journey. You know, no matter where they play, they've always got to travel quite far. So, you know, it depends what the appetite. The other thing as well that I don't think Boroughmuir are going to have as a challenge is that we have entered lambing season. So, you know, I'm not going to typecast a Newton Stewart player, but I can predict that most of them will have farming backgrounds. So, you know, that's going to be one of these challenges when it gets to this point in the competition, is that these scenarios that happen, and it'll be detrimental towards the squads. So obviously that's something that Newton Stewart will probably have to encounter.
Preston Lodge, this is the one I'm really interested in. Division 3 champions Preston Lodge at home at Pennypit to Falkirk from Division 2, who have finished Division 2 in third place.
What's your prediction before I give you my analysis?
I think Preston Lodge will win that.
On what grounds?
On Pennypit. No, I just think they've had such a great season. Falkirk have been, in the last few weeks, have been kind of tying up a bit. They had a bad result at Last Wade. I think Preston Lodge, knowing that they're going to get a big crowd down there, that's a very well-supported club, I think that's going to be one that they could just nick over Falkirk.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to tear you to shreds if you'd said it was going to be a nailed on Falkirk victory, because you've got to consider as well as the fact that the inter-district championship is going on, and I've just alluded to the fact that Harry Russell and Connor Folds are two of the players that are could potentially be part of this Cali lineup on Saturday. So, you know, Falkirk are going to be down a few key personnel, which might play into the hands of Preston Lodge, who have had a really solid season. You know, at the beginning of the season they obviously had a couple of close games, and they obviously had that negative result and getting defeated once, and after that they've been, you know, they've been superb, and they've brushed everybody aside. Orkney were their nearest challengers, and to win the championship at Pennypit, they absolutely thumped them. So, you know, PL will look at this as a good opportunity not only to get a scalp, but they could be one of the favourites to lift that cup.
So we're going both for Preston Lodge on that one. We didn't mention a prediction for the last one. Newton Stewart for me against Boroughmuir at either Meggetland or Myerside or any other place beginning with M.
I'm going to go Boroughmuir, because I do think that there will be a change in the team for Newton Stewart. But Boroughmuir as well, I think that result against Berwick surprised me, to win so convincingly. You wonder whether there's a few key players that have come back into the Boroughmuir team a bit early and they're trying to breathe a bit of life back in that club ahead of what the changes are to come next year.
Okay, so the one we've agreed on so far is Preston Lodge. What about Stirling County against Last Wade?
Last Wade away. I think they've got to they'll keep going after their victory against Falkirk. It was probably a big marker last weekend to put 40 points on the team that's closest to them in the league, key personnel or not. There's still 15 players on the road of the try line, so, you know, Last Wade put in a good performance to obviously get that victory. Stirling County have played in waves and fits so far this season. Stirling County, you know, they've had quite a turbulent season. They've put in some good impressive performances, and we've heard from Craig Deakins on many occasion, you know, being really positive to then, you know, perhaps leak points and fall off the wagon a little bit. So you've got to say that on the balance of things this season, you would say Last Wade will be going to Bridge Hall, and they'll be escaping with a victory, and they'll go into the semi-final. So, yeah, we've pretty much called it. There's almost no point in playing this weekend now, because we've pretty much nailed them all on. But yeah, obviously an interesting weekend in the National League Cup, and it's good to see it get to this stage. It's probably the kiss of death, but it's good to see at this stage, and we're going to get a full round of fixtures.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, other games happening. National 3, Orkney, who could go second if they get 1 point against Hamilton, already relegated. Must be tough, isn't it, taking that long, long journey, particularly the weather that's predicted this weekend. Hamilton already relegated, knowing that they have to fulfil a season going to Orkney. I mean, it's a nice place to go, but not in this sort of weather.
Yeah, and it's probably even worse that you've actually given the club a new name, because now they're called Hamilton already relegated, because you called them that twice there. So yeah, it's difficult, but you've got to look at it for what it is. The league's done. The league is completely done, and it's a matter of fulfilling a fixture, and you've got to try and make the most of it. It's a good trip, and I'm pretty sure that it's back to the roots of rugby in terms of going away, fulfilling a fixture, having a good time, a few beers with the opposition, get on the boat, the train, the plane, the swim, the whatever they're going to be, hovercraft, whatever they're using to get over to Orkney, you know, get back down the road and just take stock again ahead of next season.
I hope it's not the boat. Those waves are going to be bloody high.
I hope it's not the train, because there's no track.
National four then, Murrayfield against Garnock. Murray relegated, Garnock champions.
Yeah, there's not a lot to speak about there as well. You know, Garnock have been really good this season, obviously got that championship now wrapped up, and they managed to clinch it at home. And yeah, it's, again, just fulfilling a fixture. And Murrayfield Wanderers, it's sad to see them obviously go down. They've been a huge, huge part of Scottish club rugby over the last few decades. But obviously they're finding things now really difficult in the Central Belt, where it's so competitive, to try and get a bit of continuity to your squad, especially when you're down a few divisions. So, you know, it's another weekend, and it's, I think Garnock are a team that are building and building, so I wouldn't be surprised to see them ring a few changes, but also still get the victory.
The other two games in National 4, Perthshire against Strathmore, Whitecraigs against Ross High. Perthshire obviously relegated, so are Ross High. But as far as Strathmore's concerned, they've still got three games to play, and they could finish second above Whitecraigs. It's Whitecraigs' last game. You would expect them to get a try bonus, which would put them on 72 points. And then that gives Strathmore a target of 14 points from the last three games to leap over them into second place.
I love the positivity and the enthusiasm to try and make a league which is done sound interesting, Stuart. So I've got
we do our best.
I've got to applaud you for that. You know, it's
whether second place actually means anything. And I mean, it's a little challenge, isn't it? At the end of the day,
I think
to keep things rolling.
I think when you're standing in the changing room and you're building a team, you've got to find an incentive to win a game. If you just pitch up and you're playing again, it's not conducive to entertaining rugby or enjoyable rugby at all. So it will be a slight incentive. You've got to have a driver. And, you know, before the game, I can hear it now in terms of being in that changing room. That is the goal. Let's get this victory. Let's finish in second place, and then we can start to take stock next year again. You know, it is a driver. You know, whether they are celebrating it too much or they're in the club rooms and they're in 10 years from now going, do you remember when we finished second in the division? I don't know whether that will be a thing for them. But it might be. I've had conversations about when, do you remember when we almost got in the Premiership? You know, and you have those chats with some players, and it's about trying to create some memories and a bit of legacy as well. So obviously for this club and for these clubs, to try and get second place in this division, it's a driver ahead of the weekend.
Well, that's just about it for this week. We're back with another podcast next Thursday. And, of course, we'll be looking back on the last round of the Inter-District Championship. We'll dissect those two games, those two important games at the weekend. We'll also be talking sevens for the first time in the podcast, because it's, would you believe, Melrose Sevens next weekend. It has kind of snuck up on us all. But don't forget, we're on Rugby Radio this Saturday, 2:30, with full commentary and coverage of Caledonia Reds against the South on Rugby Radio at rugbyradio.co.uk. But until next week, from Dale and me, bye for now.